The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Paul O'Connell, travel editor of the Irish Independent, joins me now. Hi, Paul.
Hiya, Brendan. How are you keeping?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm doing all right.
Okay, niceties done. We're going to talk about slow travel in a minute, but just before we do that, what's happening? Any news in the travel area? Is there any word on the US opening up?
No, unfortunately. And look, for all of our optimism about European travel, and there definitely the numbers of people travelling in Europe are picking up and people are thinking about holidays again, which is a nice place to be in. But that big piece of the puzzle is not coming. We don't have any notice really of when the US is going to open up. People would really hope it'll be in the coming months as soon as possible so they can get to see people, but also so that US tourists can come back here. But at the moment there's a prohibition on non-US citizens from most of Europe, including Ireland, on travelling there, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, Michael O'Leary was out this week, so he seems to be saying cheap flights for the winter, and that then it all gets very dear from April next year, kind of.
His headline there was they'll rise dramatically in summer 2022, and that makes sense. I know he would say that because he wants us to buy flights, but it makes sense because there's less capacity, there's less air routes online, and there's this huge pent up demand of people who just want to go out and sit in the sun for 2 weeks, and we're all going to be looking to do that in the same 2 months in 2022. So it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it might be the last thing you're able to or want to do right now, to have a think about it at least, because those who do get in early will get the pick of the crop, as so to speak. You mightn't necessarily get the cheapest price because there'll be sales in January, as there always are.
Okay.
But have a think about it. And the other kind of pinch point that is really kind of announcing itself at the moment is Christmas. Oh. And that's
hang on. Before we get to Christmas, what about midterm? I had a look, and I think a lot of people had said, oh, I won't go in the summer, I'll probably go in my chance it in October, and like the prices are off the charts for anything that week.
I mean, I was never going to tell you anything else, really.
Yeah.
you can get really nice deals in October, November, and during the school term. But I was just looking at it before I came on to you. The prices really do ratchet up from the 24th to the 29th because that's the high demand time.
Yeah.
Look, Aer Lingus has a flight to Prague. It's $29.99 the previous week and the week after, and it's from 70 up to 400. During the week of midterm, and that's just one airline to one place. So yeah, we're here looking at the peak time. But look,
go on.
I was just going to say, check this in with the travel agents. There are deals available if you're willing to put in the time. It's like the same as just trying to find that self-catering at home or that hotel break in midterm. You do have to put the work in. You're not magically going to land on a super holiday for 99 euro.
Yeah, but the work is fun too. It's all part of it, isn't it? So you were saying Christmas then, because look, obviously people can, suck up October midterm. You can't go. There you go. Christmas, people might have more of a need to want to travel and family and all of it. And is Christmas gone mad as well, yeah?
It is starting to look that way. I'm looking at prices for Ryanair, for Aer Lingus. I'm looking at both prices of people who want to go out and ski and who want to go away for Christmas to the Canaries, but mostly people who want to come in. I think that's going to be when Dublin Airport looks most like, in inverted commas, normal again. Mm. I think it's going to be a really emotional couple of weeks there. And I think people are going to be paying through the nose for prices, particularly on the key dates. Everyone tends, there's always a squeeze on the dates, like the 3 days before Christmas, and then, when everyone's kind of landing in at the same time. Mm. So, and remember, there's plenty of your listeners out there will know this. There's people who haven't been home for Christmas since 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, slow travel, what does that mean?
So, we have to take breath. If you're anything like me, September kind of feels like a month of speeding up here. We've got the kids back to school. We're trying to figure out how we go back into the office, how we go on the Dart. Suddenly our lives feel kind of busy again.
And listen, it's hard to listen to you moaning. I've just been told I have a kid at home for the next 10 days, actually. So I'm sorry for your troubles. But like so many other people, we've got that additional
I'm sorry to hear that. And we're all kind of only a phone call away from it. My son's class had a case as well. But look, the reason I mentioned that about the stress of now is kind of cast your mind back to when we were all reassessing and loving the robins in our garden and walking within our 2K and being really positive about the, the hidden history we discovered about the house around the corner and all the rest of it. Slow travel is basically a philosophy that is about taking a more kind of mindful approach to your trip. So you mightn't go and tick everything off the bucket list. You mightn't go and do a city break in 2 days, 10 times a year. You might just take fewer trips, be more environmentally conscious about them, look at businesses that support the neighbourhood and the community a little bit more. It's not, a cult, which is kind of what the language around this tends to get a bit weird. Like people talk about emotional minimalism or slowify instead of Spotify and all that. But I tend to think there's a spectrum of it. And not all your holidays have to be like this, but it's just about remembering that connection with nature, remembering the meaningfulness of the stuff we want to do, and then thinking about it when you go away. That's just the simplest way of explaining it.
Yeah, so you can kind of do it yourself in a way, but obviously the industry is jumping into this and the lux industry is jumping into it as well and everything. But there are the time-honoured ways. Paul, stay with me there for a minute. And we're going to go out to Porto now. And communication expert and globetrotter Lisa Regan is on the line. And Lisa, you're about to embark on a little bit of slow travel there, aren't you?
Yes, I'm starting the Camino here on Monday and I'm just in Porto for 2 days until then. So I just arrived here last night.
And are you doing this for kind of mindfulness, kind of headspacey, kind of slow travel kind of thing?
I'm doing it for a number of reasons. I obviously wanted a change of scenery from my walks in Ireland for the last 18 months. I've never been to do this. There's only so many times you can cross the Quincentennial Bridge and feel happy about it. And I had never been to Portugal at this part or to Porto. And I love walking. And for me, slow travel is just basically just a branding exercise. It's just really just doing things and coming out of your routine. So even this morning, normally you'd be doing 500 things on a Saturday morning. This morning, I just took an extra hour and just had a coffee and looked around at people I didn't know. And it was just lovely.
You see, that's about the size of it, isn't it? Like, and just, I presume just being away and everything is nice too. Would you have been a more frantic traveller before?
No, I'm not frantic. I don't enjoy a rushed pace of anything.
I like to just
go away. Yeah, I just like to go away. And like even just today, I'm just literally walking around this city, having a look around, and there's no rhyme or reason to my day. And I find that quite relaxing because everything that we do is always kind of pointed at the next part of our day. So even that's nice. And I don't know where the streets are and I don't know anyone here. So I just find that lovely and just looking at different people. I find that incredibly relaxing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, like, I think in a way there, Lisa, you as you said, like, you don't need to go away and buy a big slow travel package. Like, you've got to the essence of it there, which is just go off and do your thing.
I just don't want people to buy into this thing that they're now suddenly doing slow travel wrong. You know, it's like, what am I meant to be doing when I'm slow traveling? It's just about just finding your own flow and just going around and maybe having a second coffee or, heaven forbid, having a second bun or whatever it is, and just enjoying where you are and coming off your phone, I think, and not just documenting your whole travel for the people in your lives and enjoying where you are and taking it all in.
Lisa Regan, thank you so much. Paul, Lisa needs to start up a slow travel company, doesn't she? She needs to bottle whatever she has there, because that is kind of sounds like the essence of it, and just wandering around and getting into a neighbourhood you might not have intended to wander into and all that kind of thing, taking in the texture of places, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's lovely the way she describes it. That's almost like a little manifesto for it there. Yeah. I had a similar experience this week, not in the city. I was in North Monaghan in a place called Schlieve Bay, and I would have struggled to place it on the map before I went, but I went out for a a 3 or 4 hour walk with the local group, Schlieff Bay Adventures, and it was so misty and we were so wet and we couldn't see more than 20 metres in front of us. But once we started walking and we started noticing the frogs and the caterpillars in the bog, and there was a hen harrier flying by and there was no phone signal, and the lads were saying, now you're in Fermanagh, now you're back in Monaghan. And of course I couldn't see, you know, far in front of me. And then I got back in the car afterwards and I turned my phone on and my sat nav, and I turned the radio on, and it felt like I was plugging back in, and I just felt rebooted, reinvigorated.
Hang on a minute. How long were you off grid for?
That was just 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. Okay. But that did the trick. It's not exactly going into the middle of the Kalahari.
Like, I don't. Yeah. See,
meditating or anything. Yeah.
I suppose that's kind of like Lisa's point, that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to take a 7 day holiday to do this. You don't have to go to Costa Rica and trek the rainforest with you know, local community guides. Brilliant and all as that would be, you can take all of these learnings and, you know, snippets of it and what suits you and what your interests are. And you can do it down the road, or you can do it in Monaghan, or you can do it in Portugal.
But it's kind of fundamentally, it's about switching off from your day to day and getting that different perspective, maybe, isn't it? Tell me quickly about Slow Cabins, who are about to launch here soon.
Yeah, so Slow Cabins, it's interesting you mentioned slow travel. This is a business model that hooks right into it. They're a Belgian startup, and the idea is they put sort of a Scandi style cabins hidden away in nature. You book blind, which means you don't know where they are, and you're told the locations 2 weeks before you travel, and off you go. They're hidden, they're in a kind of a natural setting, they're eco-friendly, they're like log-burning stoves, that kind of minimalist feel inside. They do have showers and loos, you're not totally going to have to, you know, suffer through camping in the wilderness over the weekend, a nice queen-size bed and the rest of it. And they ask, well, they suggest that you can put your phone in what they call a detox box on site. You don't have to do it, of course, and they're starting up in Ireland here. They're going to open in early 2022. And they're going to have a location in Galway and another one in Offaly. What do you think about that idea?
I think it's the lack of control is making me nervous. I'm nervous about the fact that I don't know where I'm going. I'd be quite controlling about wanting to know exactly, you know, planning and stuff like that. When I get there, I'm fine, but I like to know that everything's going to work, and I like to know where I'm going to be landing. So, knowing where you're going, that's a big throw of the dice, isn't it?
It is, but I think you can, they're not, it's not as if you'll end up in an industrial estate or something like that. They have vetted the land, you know, it's on private land. It'll look lovely. It'll be in nature and so on. So they have all the FAQs on the website anyway, but an interesting idea.
All right, Paulo Canila, thanks a million. And we will talk again, no doubt.